Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
So, Tim Versalotti, how's Elizabeth Warren doing now that she's senator?
Well, it's interesting. We political scientists like to look at senators and categorize them. And an old typology was workhorse versus show horse. There are freshman senators who come in, keep their heads down, learn the norms and traditions of the institution, bone up on the issues, and generally avoid the spotlight, at least for the first couple of years. And then there are the show horses, the celebrities who come in and instantly make a splash. And if we were to categorize Elizabeth Warren right now, she's made a splash. She certainly showed some indicators of being a show horse, whether she likes it or not. She's got such a passionate following among liberal Democrats that anything she did in the Senate was likely to draw headlines, and that's certainly been the case.
So we certainly saw Martha Coakley go down in flames when she ran. Now we see Elizabeth Warren do extremely well. You're close to the voter mentality in Massachusetts. What's that all about?
It really was a combination of factors. Martha Coakley was running in an off-year special election, running up against a tide of Tea Party anger over the proposed health care reforms. On top of that, Martha Coakley never really warmed to the retail politics. Elizabeth Warren warmed to it a little more rapidly. She didn't start out so well either, but she gradually got the hang of it, and I think did well on the campaign trail. Add to that that Elizabeth Warren was running in a presidential election cycle where turnout tends to be higher, where Democratic turnout tended to be higher this time around, and that certainly helped her case as well.
Okay, so one of the questions that's perpetual that I want to do is why Bill Weld, given a chance to run for the Senate after Scott Brown dropped out, didn't do it?
It's a good question, and certainly one that a lot of folks have been wondering about since he said he wouldn't run. Part of it could have been the simple mechanics of the calendar. Whoever wins the special election to succeed John Kerry on June 25th has to run again a year and a half later. And these statewide campaigns really apparently take a lot out of folks. It's not just the wear and tear of travel. It's the constant fundraising. It's the studying briefing books and preparing for high-profile televised debates. There's a lot to it, and you really have to want it in order to do two statewide races in the span of a year and a half.
So you see Weld pretty much done now, even though he's the next governor.
I think you never want to count people out.
Yeah.
And certainly in the case of a moderate Republican like Bill Weld, that's true. There are a couple of challenges, though. He recently moved back into the state. He had been living in New York for a while. Had he run right now, it would have looked a little bit opportunistic. He's also practicing law in the private sector, which, of course, is a very lucrative enterprise. And so it's got to be something very attractive for someone to walk away from a private sector position like that.
So Deval Patrick had to put a placeholder in for the Senate seat, and he appointed Mo Cowan. At the same time, Barney Frank was saying, me, 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 I want to be the one. What insights can you offer us on all of that?
That was a surprise. I think very few people saw this coming in terms of folks who follow politics for a living. Mo Cowan was the chief of staff to Governor Patrick. They're very close, and I think the governor's first rule was first do no harm with this appointment. Put in a placeholder, someone who doesn't want to run to serve out the remainder of the term or run down the road. And most importantly, and Patrick has talked about this, he did not want to detract from the special Senate election campaign. And so putting a trusted aide in there whom he knew could learn quickly and pick up on the issues in the Senate and vote the way Patrick would vote were he there, I think that was very attractive. And then that allowed the political world to focus on the special Senate race. The thing about Barney Frank he's someone who draws attention. And putting him in this seat, even for only a few months, ran the risk of overshadowing the election to fill out the term. Also, and Governor Patrick's the one to answer this question for sure. I think in general, though, chief executives do not like to be pushed into a corner. And Barney Frank did not play this well if he truly wanted the appointment. He's very public about it and said, this is how I am. I don't play backroom politics. But when you put the state's chief executive on the spot like that, it's probably not going to turn out well. And it didn't for Barney Frank.
So if Deval Patrick himself had decided to run for the Senate, it wouldn't have been the first time in the world that such a thing had happened. And maybe he put Cowan in place thinking, well, I preserve my options this way.
That's true.
There's
That's
a question true, mark there. Yeah.
I think, though, whoever... whichever candidate wins the seat in the June special election will have a leg up. And so I think the moment has passed for Governor Patrick. And again, I'm not sure he was eager to be one of 100. He has said on more than one occasion, I like to be in charge. So he may see himself more as an executive branch person than a legislative branch person.
While we're at it, let's talk about Richie Neal, the congressman from the 1st District where I vote, who is, you know, spending a lot of time in the Berkshires. It's a new part of his district. How's he doing?
Well, he's doing all the right things. He opened a district office in Pittsfield recently and installed two full-time staffers there to provide constituent service. And as we know, those of us who keep an eye on Congress, constituent service is critical to building a base of support, especially in a new part of your district, which Berkshire County is. He's been spending time in Berkshire County. He's been thinking about legislation to benefit local industries. A bill that he has recently put together would cut in half the federal excise tax on barrels of beer that breweries produce. And he announced the plans for that on a visit to the Barrington Brewery in Great Barrington and said, here's a way to promote economic growth at these small craft breweries around the country. We've got one right here. What voter doesn't want cheaper beer?
Me. I hate this stuff.
Well, Alan, I think there are others who might disagree, but it was seemed like a win-win situation proposing that kind of legislation and then making a public splash, so to speak, at a brewery in the new part of the district. So Neil is aware these are very short cycles. The House members, the minute they win, they've got to start thinking about the next race. They've got to stay current raising money. Although Neil does very well at raising money, they've got to introduce themselves if they've got a new part of the district as a result of redistricting. And he certainly seems to be doing that.
Incumbency, Mr. Political Scientist and pollster, incumbency is a great helper, is it not?
It certainly is. There are exceptions where the public will rise up if there's a scandal. Think about the House bank and banking scandal where members of Congress were bouncing checks and there was a big exodus of incumbents who were turned out of office. But those are the exceptions to the rule. The incumbents have name recognition. They have the franking privilege. That's taxpayer-supported mailings that can go to the constituents multiple times a year. And interest groups, PACs, are going to donate to these folks because they sit on committees that write the legislation that govern the functions of those industries. And so folks like Neil come in with a built-in advantage.
It's always great to talk to Tim Versalotti, director of the Western New England University Poll, professor, political scientist, and a great friend. Thank you so much, Tim.
You're very welcome.